with Nick, episode for August 18th, 2018. 8-18-18. Pretty cool, huh, everyone? actually, it's snooze with Nick because it's in the morning and you just try to wake up for it, but then you hit the snooze button and then it's just like, whatever. One person in the chat, Hampy Dro, he starts the news off with the typical first-time homeowner now rents up to 6 years before buying a home, which is up 2.6 years from early 1970s. The median first-time buyer is age 33. So they're age 33, but they're
Wow. So I'm ahead of the curve.
Oh, Andrew, you're here on the phone.
Yes, you're ahead of the curve, too.
I guess so. If you count like buying a house as being like the, you made it. You did a thing. So
yeah, you did a thing. You succeeded at it.
I guess.
I have not yet succeeded.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. It says age 33, but they rent for 6 years on average. That means on average people are starting to rent at age 27? That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make sense at all. They live at home until 27?
Well, I guess if you go to college and then you go to medical school, that could almost put you at 27. And then you rent and then you buy. I don't know. I know. So how's your house going? Did you call the internet company?
Yeah, I have internet. It's the same internet. But the inspection report came back after you came to the inspection last week, and it was all good. And then, well, let me ask you a question first.
Yes.
Do you consider me the leader or a leader?
Yes.
Well, I feel like a follower because I'm following in your footsteps. I'm buying a house years after you did. It's small and less, you know, it's not, I can afford more. You could have afforded more, but you chose the financially smart house, which is what I'm doing as well. However, you had some water issues at your house, right?
What kind of water? Like from the city?
Yeah, you had yellow-brown water.
Right, but fortunately, I have a lot of leverage to say, hey, it's the city problem, fix it.
Yeah, so I got my inspection report back, all is good, and there's only a few things we're asking for, there's not much to worry about, and then, last night, I got the water test back.
Uh-oh.
And that's, ungood.
Really?
Very ungood.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna move in, and then we're gonna die. That's how it's going to go, I guess.
Well, you don't have to move in. What was the water report?
Well, the water report, no bacteria or anything, but it had high levels of iron, manganese, arsenic, and radon.
That's all probably healthy.
Yeah, well, not according to the EPA or anybody else I've talked to.
Good God.
So the real estate agent put me in touch with a water guy, and I sent him the water test, and he copied me on a quote for a system to reverse osmosisize everything and clean it up. And that might not be all that's needed. So the iron and manganese, I guess, can clog the system, so you might want like a pre-filter for that before the reverse osmosis. Hold on, I'm pulling into a phone booth.
You're pulling into a what?
The phone booth. Thank you. So anyway, so the reverse osmosis device thing is like a $3,800 to $4,000 thing.
Yep.
So that's not a good number.
That's installed, right? Not just the unit.
What's that?
Total, counting it installed.
Yes, yeah, installed. But it doesn't count the speed filter or anything else I might need. And it requires electrical, plumbing, and venting. Because it takes the radon out of the water and puts it in the air, then you need to vent the radon out of the house.
So what the heck are the other neighbors doing? Because it doesn't... Why would your water be the only messed up water?
Maybe they didn't water test. I don't know.
Oh, they don't know they're turning into mutants.
Yeah. And my neighbor across the street, his well is actually on an adjacent property, and their pipe runs across, like, underneath the road and underneath my mailbox for the neighbor's property. We found out about that. So if he ever has to do any maintenance on his well, I'm going to say, nope, fuck you.
Wow.
Well, or give me lots of money. No, I'll let him. I won't be a bitch. But I found that out, too.
Hmm.
But, so I don't know what to do at this point. Like, I'm going to find out today, but do we talk to the seller and be like, hey, you got to fix this shit or take $5,000 off the price or something?
I would post online and ask what to do.
Where would that post? r/record?
Yes, r/homeowners, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't know. I've been to Reddit, like, twice.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand, so I left.
If it were me, I'd go to r/homeowners, I'd type it up, and I'd say, what do I do? New home buyer inspection came back with bad water. Blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of people there that'll chime in and tell you what you might want to do.
Okay.
Or I could post it for you or whatever.
Do I have to, like, register to Redditor?
What's that?
Do I have to register to Reddit?
You do have to sign up for an account, but you don't... Yeah, it's very easy.
Okay.
You basically
probably figure it out.
You basically just click register and set up a username and password, and then you can post.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, that's exciting and nerve-wracking, and apparently everything that you do, I do as well. So now I'm going to freak out about a ladder. Actually, Ellen and I had a discussion about a ladder yesterday.
Okay.
And because my house now has very high ceilings, and all the smoke detectors, at some point in life, the battery dies at 4 in the morning when you're sleeping, and you have to go remove the smoke detector, remove the battery, and it still beeps even though there's no power going to it. It's unbelievable. It's magic. And my smoke detectors are 25 feet up in the ceiling, and the ladder that's in my house does not reach that far. So I just banged on the smoke detector with a stick until it came out of the ceiling and fell to the floor and crashed and shattered.
Yes, we remember.
So I have to buy a new smoke detector, and I got to install it, but my ladder won't reach up that high. And Ellen's like, well, I think we need to get a ladder. And I said, yeah. She goes, why don't you get an A-frame ladder? I said, because those things are too big. They don't collapse, and they're no good. Did you see the home inspector's ladder? And she said, no. Like, well, it slides, and it has three sections. I think we should get one of those because it'll be plenty tall. I can use it to rake the roof and shovel the roof of the new house, and it'll work for my current house. And she argued it was too dangerous, and I said, well, the A-frame ladders are too big and bulky, and I can't haul them. I want the sliding ladder. And then we had no idea what kind of ladder to get, and it seems like a impossible hurdle to overcome.
Good. I don't think you need to install the smoke detector. Just be like, sorry, landlord, here's the new smoke detector, and hand it to him.
I know, but I really like my landlord. He's a really nice guy. I called him on Friday and let him know that I'm moving out. And he's always been really cool, and I want to make the house in good shape for him. And I said, look.
You called him before the water report?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I wanted a lot of as soon as I could, basically. So.
Right.
Pretty much right after the inspection went well, I'm like, all right, I'll call the landlord now. Because, really, I'm moving out in like 30 days.
Well, maybe. You weren't even going to do the water inspection at first, right?
The water inspection?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what all was involved because the bacteria, they already had the bacteria test, like, back in July, and it came out great.
Did you only do it because I said something about radon standing in the kitchen?
No.
Okay.
I did it mainly because Mark recommended I do it the day before.
Okay.
Mark being a real estate agent.
The chat says this is Ladder Talk Live.
So, yeah, enough about my house update. What's new with you?
I had a dream two nights ago. Have you ever had a dream where you invented a word in your dream or something?
No.
And I'm like, how is this possible? This was in my. This means it came from my brain. So I woke up and I was laughing about how funny my dream was. And it's probably not that funny, but in my dream, I invented a new word. You know how if you're a woman and your breasts are full of milk because you have a baby, you say you're nursing, even if you're not actively nursing, you say, "Yeah, I'm nursing." So in my dream, there was this lady and she said she was diaping, which is the act of carrying around diapers for your baby. And I invented that word.
Why are you dreaming about pregnant women?
I have no idea. Well, she wasn't pregnant anymore. She had a baby. And she's like, yeah, I'm diaping. I'm like, what? And that was in my, so that was in my brain the whole time, but it revealed itself in my dream. And I think it could also mean...
You woke up and laughed a whole bunch at yourself?
What's that?
You woke up and laughed a whole bunch at yourself?
Yes, and I laughed the entire day anytime I thought about it. And I think it could also mean, like, I know in my dream it wasn't this, but it, you could maybe, if you're like an adult baby, you could be like, yeah, I'm diaping if you're wearing your diaper.
Yeah. But there's all kinds of adult baby diaper lover slang.
Oh, well, this one should go in the Urban Dictionary. But it's hard to spell.
r/urban diaping.
r/diaping, yeah. Urban diaping?
I don't know.
All right, on to the news. Let's see, what should we start with? We have...
I was hoping you had a stinger or an intro. You got nothing.
I just played the intro.
That was for the show, but we're moving to the news now.
I'll play more of the intro then.
Okay. That sounds like shit over Skype.
Sorry. State of emergency in Ferguson is lifted as protests ease. After reviewing the events of the past four evenings under the state of emergency, I am pleased to report our law enforcement officers have established order while preventing further acts of violence in Ferguson. So, Ferguson had its 1 year anniversary or whatever of Michael Brown being shot by a white cop in a heroic move, right? And... they all started protesting again, and then they decided to stop protesting. That's the end of the thing. Hang on, I need to look something up.
This is the only news I've heard since your last news show.
Oh, you don't know anything that's happened in the news?
No, I'm really curious to see what the white people are up to. What's Hulk Hogan doing?
I don't know. I don't keep up with that. Can you see this on
Trump
the stream?
News. I'm really enjoying the Trump news.
An Illinois businessman, yeah, we're not going to bring up Trump this week because it's going to be just too much. It's just going to be Trump talk live if we do. You said you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy it?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm loving the Donald Trump.
Oh, good. An Illinois businessman, tired of endless talk about the anniversary of the police shooting of Michael Brown, hit back in a way that got people talking more than ever. It was a sign that was brutal in its simplicity. This is stupid. Anyway, some guy, you know how they have the movable letter signs outside their businesses?
Yep.
This guy put up a sign that said, "Congrats, Michael Brown, 1 year with no criminal behavior." For everyone in town to see. The businessman and owner of Schmitz...
What kind of business was it?
Schmitz Welding and Machine Shop.
That sounds like a place where racists would hang out.
Yeah. In Illinois... said he posted the sign out of disgust with behavior for peaceful protesters marking the anniversary of Ferguson. It is what it is. All these people in Ferguson going crazy over a guy that broke the law three times that day, tried to kill a cop, tried to get his gun. It's crazy, Schmidt said in an interview with the News Gazette last week. What they're doing to cops makes me sick. So, whatever. He loves cops and he hates Michael Brown, I guess.
So do you see these memes online where it's like the anti-Black Lives Matter movement where it's like someone posts a bunch of black people beating the shit out of some white person and then they post like hashtag Black Lives Matter?
I guess it's kind of like when the men post videos of women beating men or something and be like, inequality.
Yeah, yeah. What's your take on that? How do you feel when you watch those videos?
I haven't seen any of the black on whites.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Because, like, I'm like, wow, that's really fucked up. And then I'm like, but as a white person, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know. I feel like any black person right now could sue any police department, and there'd be a lot of, you know, civil rights lawyers that would just take it up and try and go after a buck, you know, mainly the lawyers. But as a Jew, I don't feel like I could ever sue a Klan member or any kind of anti-Semite. I don't think it works all the way around.
Yeah, I don't know if you're black what you would sue for necessarily. You could go to the media and say, I just got beaten in the streets after you beat yourself up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but if someone called me a kike, I could say that I'm a victim, and now I'm owed damages.
True. Yeah, Jew hate is not hype right now. Black hate is pretty hype in the news.
I know. What the fuck? I thought the Jews controlled the media. Isn't it time to focus on themselves?
It doesn't seem
I want people blocking highways for me.
Yeah, I don't know what the Jew to normal ratio for being in jail is, though. Because the black to normal ratio is, like, way high. Like, 80% of them are black.
Oh, yeah, good point. Jews don't go to jail.
So that's where all the hate's coming from. And then this other cop this week got a big news story because he got beaten. And he was like, they're like, why didn't you shoot the guy before he beat you? And he was like, I didn't want to be in the news for shooting someone. I don't have that news story ready.
Oh.
Do you want me to pull it up? Cop.
I don't care. Your call. It's your news. I'm just driving.
Pistol whipped cop.
83 miles an hour.
I'm very good at pulling up things quick. Pistol whipped Alabama. Every headline about this says pistol whipped. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I think I know what it means. I assume it means you...
Act with a pistol or beat with a pistol.
Right. But people keep... Isn't that slang? Why do headlines keep saying pistol whipped?
I don't know. They could just say bludgeoned with a pistol.
The Alabama police officer who went viral after he was pistol whipped with his own gun last week said he didn't shoot his attacker because he didn't want to make headlines as the nation's newest vilified cop. The Birmingham detective, whose name has not been released, paused while a suspect attacked him during a traffic stop because he feared the countywide backlash he might receive for killing a black man.
Shouldn't he be a hero? Shouldn't his name be out there and he should be held up as the example?
That's what they're doing. Well, no, they're holding him up as a hero as saying he's an example
hero
of why we should shoot blacks.
Oh.
He was investigating a string of burglaries and then stopped a GMC Yukon and was attacked by the driver. The suspect stole the detective's gun during the struggle and clubbed him repeatedly with it, leaving the officer lying limp on the ground. Pictures.
How bad was the attack? Like, is it broken bones, brain damage?
Let's see.
If it was just like if he got beat up like he would in a normal fight, then he should go out there and be like, look, I didn't kill anybody and I'm fine a couple days later.
Pictures of the bloodied officer surfaced on social media shortly after the brutal confrontation. Someone posted, quote, pistol pimped his face and I'm chilling now. Posted a picture of the officer. Pistol whipped his ass to sleep, a Facebook user wrote before deleting a post showing the officer face down on the sidewalk. So either the guy beat him up and took pics, or the guy beat him up and other people took pics. And then posted it on Facebook. What a bunch of idiots.
Don't you feel like 4 years ago, racism like was gone, like it wasn't a thing, and any racist had to be closeted? But now, because of all the black lives versus the white lives and the racism, like the race riots and all that, now racism is back in full force. It's like we're back in the 60s all of a sudden.
I have no idea.
I feel like because both sides are coming out swinging now at this point, whereas a few years ago, both sides just shut the fuck up and who cares?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a central topic a few years ago. I don't think that means it wasn't existing. I'm sure there were still real racist cops. This all started with Trayvon.
Yeah.
And then from there...
2012?
Yeah, I guess. And then from there, it got worse. But I don't know. Maybe it's been happening the whole time, and CNN.com hasn't been reporting on it because it wasn't hot topic. Let's see what the chat has to say. Nothing. Okay, next topic. Did you hear that Google is now creating a company? Google is creating a new company called Alphabet. Google announced a corporate restructuring on Monday, which was last Monday, forming an umbrella company called Alphabet and naming a new CEO to the core business, blah, blah, blah. The company, which was founded in 19... Google announced its new operating structure in a blog post on Monday called G for Google. They said that Alphabet will operate as the parent company for a number of smaller companies, including Google. So Google, which is already a huge company, is deciding to create a bigger company over them. Let's see if this video explains anything.
Google, it's the search engine we all use. Sorry, Bing fans. Company worth nearly a $500 billion. They also own YouTube and Android. It's about to become something bigger, Alphabet. Google has given birth to Alphabet, a parent company that owns not just Google, but all these quirky side projects that Brandon Page have been known for. One of Alphabet's subsidiaries is Calico. This is a company that is investing in technology that extends human life. It's kind of like Google's fountain of youth. There's also Google X. This is the company that everyone really knows because it's all about Google's so-called moonshot, talking about things like contact lenses that measure glucose levels in tears, driverless cars, drones, and yes, Google Glass.
Okay, so he's explaining all the different companies. So underneath Alphabet, there's Calico, Google, Google X, Fiber, Nest, Venture Capital.
Android. Now with his ascension to CEO, he has the teams at YouTube, Maps, and all those other Google apps reporting to him as well. Google co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they're going to run Alphabet. Page as CEO, Brin as president. The two of them control a big chunk of the...
Man, those guys are like 12.
So how does the smaller company, being Google, give birth to a parent company?
Ah, good point. I don't know. Must be a Benjamin Button.
Can't these Google people, haven't they done enough? Like, if you were running Google, Nick, would you keep going at this point?
Sure.
Like, no, that's good. I'm going home.
If I owned Google and someone was like, will you sell me Google for $2 billion? I'd probably be like, yeah, sure. I don't know. Maybe
not. Like, I got cars to go collect. Google's, I don't have time for this people shit anymore. I'm finished.
Google's about to change the world with their self-driving car, though. That's pretty exciting.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. I'm so excited.
You're not going to see that for 50 years.
I don't understand why, though, because it's been tested for like a million miles and it's never crashed.
Yes, a million miles on a campus.
No, on like highways.
Not a million miles. Okay, what happens? Okay, I'm sure there's ways to overcome it, very easy ways to overcome it, but there are these factors. Like, all the systems to move a car exist on cars today. Cruise control, adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, self-parking, parallel parking. They now have the cars that you can get out of and it'll pull itself into your garage.
Wow.
And shit like that. It all exists. You can buy cars with all these features, but you can't go full autonomous on the roads yet, mainly because it's illegal. But, like, there are so many other factors that you don't have in a controlled campus environment like Google Campus. So what happens when you get some slush on your little radar sensors or your lane departure warning? Puke's old car had all kinds of goofy nannies that would light up. Oh, there's somebody in your blind spot. That fucking thing went off whenever you got near a guardrail.
I don't know. I assume Google's going to figure it out. But, yeah. Trying to tell Google to go to your house, it would probably go up that one road that has no road.
Exactly.
And it would probably just
your
go full
speed. Flip over because you'd hit one of those boulders.
Yeah, it'd go full speed over those bumps. I don't know. I've seen the videos on it. It's pretty impressive, I guess. But maybe it only works on...
I will be a late adopter.
...highways. Here's four questions about Google's new parent company. Hang on. This video is probably going to be stupid. It's from Forbes.
Ooh, nice Porsche. Oh, by the
way, here are four questions to consider about Google.
What?
Okay, fine.
What? I couldn't find the pause button.
Pause? Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, because you didn't mention on the actual show, I'm in the car right now. I'm driving, and I am going to visit Nick's place of birth, where the big puddle of goo splashed out into his father's hand.
Gross.
That's where I'm going.
You're going to the house I was born in.
Near it. Kind of. Past it. I don't know.
Okay.
Going to New Jersey. Well, thanks. For work.
Do you have to show off a printer in New Jersey?
No. I have to go. So you know how last year I went to Pittsburgh for some work stuff, for some training?
Yes.
Same company is taking us to one of their headquarters in Eatontown, New Jersey.
Cool.
So I'm meeting coworkers in Southern Mass, and I'm in Nashville right now, and then I got to pile in the car with five other coworkers and drive for, I don't know, 4-5 hours to New Jersey. Not looking forward to it.
Are you driving them?
I can't not drive that long.
Are you driving them, or are they driving you?
They're driving me. I'm going to get sick and have a headache, and I'm going to want to die.
Cool. Hey, at work, I'm turning into an asshole. Because they put me in charge of quality, which means I'm now, like, just an auditor.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations on your raise title.
I guess. Anyway, tons
What was your raise? How much?
Like, 74 cents.
74 cents? A raise? That's an insult.
It was a roundup, basically. They're like, we're just going
to
round...
Here's more responsibility, and here's a quarter.
We're going to round up to the nearest dollar based on what you were at before. Whatever.
Counter offer. Like, okay, I'll do 90% of what you're asking me to do if you give me 400% of what you just gave me.
Yeah, I understand the steps. I don't really care right now. Because they're sort of trying. Everyone who's taken this position in the past has pretty much either walked away from it and said, I don't want to do this, or has failed and not really done it. So they're giving
That's
it
not
to
a
me.
Good sign.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't care. But now I have to turn into one of those guys who walks around with a clipboard and just points out things people are doing wrong and not following procedures.
I'm sure you'll be great at that.
I am going to be great at it, but I'm going to be an asshole and everyone's going to hate me. Every time I walk out onto the floor, they're going to be like, oh, it's the auditor again. I'm already in trouble.
Well, just treat it all like a big game Monopoly and make everyone follow the rules.
Yeah.
You love your rule book.
I do make people follow rules, but I'm already in trouble because I was looking at a procedure the production manager wrote yesterday, and I said, like, half of this doesn't make any sense. So they sent it back to him, and he basically said, well, if Nick doesn't like it, he can rewrite it himself.
So what happens when you tell your boss that he's not following the procedures?
Well,
or you tell the owner he's not following procedures?
That's a good question. That's going to happen today. So I don't know yet.
How's that going to happen today?
Because this only happened yesterday, the owner was already gone when this fight happened yesterday over the procedures, and now today I'm going to have to bring it to the owner and say, yeah, I found these problems with the procedure, and the production manager's not wanting to edit it. And I think I have a meeting with all three of them, actually, or two of them, three counting me.
Well, is there a chance the manager's correct and the procedure's wrong?
No.
Like, is there a better way than the procedure?
It's not a judgment call. Basically, the procedure, part of the procedure says to put a tool in one of the machines that a tool doesn't go in that machine. Like, it's a factually incorrect procedure.
So then your production manager is right, or you're saying he's wrong because he wrote the procedure.
No, he wrote the procedure, and in the procedure he wrote, he has things in there that don't work. Like, that... physically
well,
are impossible.
If it's a typo or an error, just edit it. Just be like, hey, I rewrote this. Here you go. Don't be like, hey, you fucked up. Go fix this. Just fix it for him and be like, here, I fixed this. There was an error.
And I may end up having to do that. It's not as simple as that. The whole thing was sort of like he copy and pasted sections from one to another, and that's how the stuff got mixed in. And so maybe I will be assigned to fix it, but it wasn't my job to do it, so I wasn't just going to go do it.
So what you should do is just rewrite the whole thing, do it right, and it's like, look, this guy's an idiot.
And I might
do that.
I went
and redid it. I know it wasn't my job, but I want $2 more an hour.
Right. There's more at play here because the procedure then has to go off to one of our customers who's also auditing it too. So, whatever. We'll see what happens today.
Okay.
Let's see if this video is stupid.
About Google's new parent company, Alphabet. First, what's happening? Alphabet will house distinct segments in a new umbrella structure. The products you use every day, like search, maps, and retain the Google name. A separate bucket will house Google's more far-flung experiments. The reorganization will give each business autonomy.
This girl has no voice.
Autonomy and change the way the company reports its financials. Think of the new structure like the tech version of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Who's going to be in charge? Google's billionaire co-founders, Larry.
Yep, this is stupid. Okay, so all you need to know is Google has created a bigger company to hold all of its other projects.
Google gave birth to his daddy.
Yes. So, on over to China. I don't know if you heard about this. This is pretty big news. Some shipping area caught on fire. And then people decided, oh, I'll just watch this fire.
What would you do?
What did I do?
What would you do if you saw a shipping area on fire?
Yeah, you'd watch the fire. You'd record it. And then if I skip ahead here, the shipping area was on fire, and then all of a sudden the shipping area was, like, really, really on fire. Like, to the point where cameras from miles away, like, their lenses, the flare from the fire just blew it out. Should be able to hear it in a second. So it creates this huge fireball, and actually most of the cameras that saw it, you see the fireball and then you don't even hear it until 4 minutes later. Not 4 minutes. Four seconds later.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Death toll from a Tianjin explosion reaches 112, with more than 90 still missing.
So what exploded? Like, I understand the shipping facility, but shipping containers don't explode unless they're filled with explosive things.
Correct. The first reports of a fire at a warehouse in the Binhai New Area began coming in at around 22:50 local time. The first responders were unable to keep the fire from spreading. The Global Times reported that firefighters who first arrived on the scene proceeded to douse the fire with water, as they were unaware that dangerous chemicals were stored at the site, thereby setting in motion a series of more violent chemical reactions. At around 23:30, which according to this is 40 minutes after the first fire started, first explosion occurred and registered a magnitude 2.3 earthquake.
Wow.
Initial reports estimate that the first explosion was the equivalent of 3 tons of TNT, which... Oh, what's playing? Are you kidding me? It's an ad for, like, a cat thing. I can't even pause it.
Ooh, that's a really pretty jaguar.
Okay. That was cool.
Oh, man, look at that car.
Is Batman driving it? Did you hear Batman's dead?
Batman doesn't drive a jaguar, and what do you mean Batman's dead?
Okay, so this is big news, too. This happened yesterday. There was this guy in Baltimore, I want to say, that dressed up like Batman and drove his Lambo around. And he
died in a car crash.
Yeah, kind of. Yes, a car crashed into him. His car was having trouble, so he pulled over, but he didn't pull over all the way. And he got in front of the car to look at it, and then another car just rear-ended his car and killed him.
Forgot my charger in a hotel room in New York yesterday.
What's that?
I just said, now, if only that would happen to bicycles.
Well, that's nice. Anyway, the first explosion was equivalent to 3 tons of TNT, or tonnes. T-O-N-N-E-S, is that just tons?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like the British way of saying tons.
No one knows what one TNT, though, is. Usually like, 3 tons of TNT, that sounds like a lot. I play Minecraft.
Yeah, like, I feel like, you know, 100 pounds of TNT might blow up an outhouse. I don't know.
Who knows? I thought one TNT would blow up an outhouse. All I know about TNT is that it's what cartoons put down if they want to blow something up.
Well, what's like an M80 versus a stick of TNT or dynamite?
I have no clue.
Is it the same thing? Is an M80 like a quarter stick of TNT? Chat, figure this out. I'm driving.
There's a link. TNT equivalent is a method of quantifying the energy released in explosion. The ton of TNT is a unit of energy equal to 4.184 gigajoules. So TNT stands for trinitrototoluene. Is a chemical compound, and it's yellow colored, and it's sometimes used as a reagent in chemical synthesis, but is best known as a useful explosive material with convenient handling properties. So it's a rock, I guess. Not a rock, it's a material. Or a chemical made up material. But in this picture, it looks like a bunch of rocks on a plate.
Yeah, like a powder, right?
Let's see. The reaction is exothermic, but has a high activation energy. Nobody cares. It doesn't say how you put it in a bomb and blow it up. TNT is produced in a three-step process. Toluene is nitrated with a mixture of sulfuric and nitric acid. All right. So that was the first explosion. Shortly after that, a second, more powerful one occurred, which caused the most damage and injuries, with shockwaves felt for many kilometers away. So someone's recording, and then they see the explosion, and 4 seconds later, their window shatters in their face.
Oh, wow.
The second explosion has been estimated to be equivalent of 21 tons of TNT, the resulting fireball reaching hundreds of meters high. As of August 17th, sources reported 114 confirmed deaths.
New rope is actually past all it.
70 people, mostly firefighters, remain missing. Ooh. So the firefighters were standing there, and then the bomb exploded, basically. Several communities with around 5,600 inhabitants are known to exist within 1 kilometer of the plant, which is a very close distance. I can run 1 kilometer in about 3 minutes or something. Neither the developers nor the buyers were aware of the latent dangers of the activities at the nearby site.
Government press conference. Parents of missing firefighters demand to know the truth. Even now, no one has contacted me, she says. I just want my son back. Their children are contractors who fight fires like their official counterparts without military status or benefits. Whether they live or die, they deserve equal treatment, this father says. The government.
China's a scary place. Don't go there. They don't have any safety regulations at all.
New explosions and fires at the blast site Saturday triggered fears of toxic smoke billowing back into populated areas. Busloads of families evacuated from this emergency shelter. Hundreds of specialists on the ground still don't know the full list of toxins stored together at the shipping port, the epicenter of the explosions, sparking accusations of criminal negligence, putting profit above lives.
There are a lot of questions about a lack of oversight of Chinese personnel at this.
In terms of the direct cause, government sources identified 3 chemicals stored at the site that may have contributed: ammonium nitrate, potassium nitrate, and calcium carbide. Ammonium nitrate is principally used in fertilizer, can explode when heated above 200 degrees Celsius or 400 degrees Fahrenheit. It has been implicated on a variety of other fatal industrial explosions. An analysis by CNN.
I wonder if anybody in China ever tests their water for, you know, whatever the fuck is in my water. Sorry, I'm marching. But they're always wearing those masks, though, or is that Japan?
Well, now in China, they're all wearing the mask.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to think.
A fire department spokesman confirmed that firefighters had used water in combating the initial fire. He indicated that they knew there was calcium carbide existed in the warehouse, but were unaware of its location. So, let's see. Accidentally led to water being sprayed on the calcium carbide, leading to an acetylic gas explosion. So don't spray water. If you ever see any calcium carbide, don't spray water on it, apparently. So now the air is just full of smoke. And, yeah, if they have water testing over there, they probably send it to the water testing facility and they send it back without doing anything and say it's fine.
They just say wear a mask while you drink the water.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That was pretty big news.
So Journalist- is that as entertaining to you as a plane crashing?
No. Well, I mean, there was a plane crash, actually, in Papua New Guinea or something. I didn't even put that on the list. It was pretty boring. This one was...
Oh, no, my car is making a weird noise.
Uh-oh.
Like, it sounds like air is coming in my tailgate. Okay, stop. Weird. I don't know. I'm going to have a flat tire. Maybe my tire's going flat.
Maybe.
Turn hard. I don't know.
What was I going to say?
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I forget what I was going to say.
Well, if I crash, it's because I have a flat tire and I'm next to a tractor trailer and he ran me over.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, try not to do that. Oh, this one was exciting because people were recording it. So at first, the news was just like, there's an explosion, and everyone's like, whatever, another explosion. And then the video came out and people said, oh, that was a real big explosion.
Yeah, I find that to be way more exciting than a plane crash. Because, like, a plane crash is, right, and it's over, and that's it. Whereas an explosion happens, it's a big fire, and it's a long thing. Like, it keeps going over the course of hours, right?
Right.
And then afterwards, it's like, now we got to look around and see everything that got fucked up. And then there's, like, well, there's all these toxins in the air from these chemicals. And what about, like, the water system and the sewage system in the city nearby and all that? They got shockwaves and, you know, there's going to be decades of effects, probably.
Yeah, the best part of a plane crash is when they find the black box and we listen to the recorder.
Police say Donald Lee Edwards has no license to practice medicine, but convinced his patients otherwise.
Freaking quiet.
I thought, you know, everything was legit.
Including Kim Brody, who tells us he saw him a few weeks ago at his makeshift office on Gordon Street in the Stapleton section.
He's treating me for depression.
Did he prescribe you medication?
Yes. Zoloft.
And Brody even showed us the bottle of antidepressants. Authorities say Donald Lee Edwards would call in prescriptions to a pharmacy under a similar doctor's name without them knowing it to go undetected.
When I saw the name, I thought...
Donald Lee Edwards was arrested this week and accused of impersonating a clinical psychologist and medical doctor for 3 years and potentially providing medical health service to over 100 patients. Said the Richmond County District Attorney Office. He is a dangerous scam artist who never completed any medical school or doctoral program. He merely bestowed himself upon the professional titles of clinical psychologist and medical doctor. He said he worked extensively with family members and victims of 9/11 and made himself available for home visits. In June, the district's attorney office was notified of his practice, and I clicked off the link.
Well, was he really scamming them? If he wasn't like going to their house and stealing their shit or raping their children.
Right.
He was just doing what he said he was doing.
District's attorney office
was notified. For the most part, he was being honest.
Sure.
Looks like some folks have had it with their airline credit card.
Of his practice, after skeptical patients complained of his unorthodox bedside manner and his prescription methods. WCBS spoke to one of his patients. Brody showed them a bottle of antidepressants he had been prescribed with a different doctor's name. So he gets the bottle of pills, and it has a different doctor name on it than the black guy he just saw. He operated out of a basement apartment below a two-family residence on State Island. He lived in the floor above his office with his parents. Aha! I wonder how much it cost to go to him. It was probably like $10. I would go to that doctor.
Yeah. Me too. I feel like if you're that doctor and you're charging that little, you can just be like, look, I'm not licensed, but I can get you drugs.
Right, and for 3 years he was able to call in prescriptions?
Yeah, it just sounds like a legitimate drug dealer.
I guess so. Maybe that's more what he was doing.
He's a friend.
Or maybe he really had a passion for doctoring, but he didn't want to go to doctor school, so he just Googled everything.
Or maybe he was saving up so he could afford to go through and become totally legit.
How would he know what to prescribe someone?
How do doctors know what to prescribe someone?
They have school.
Yeah, but still, you recall anything from school?
Nope.
Exactly. Like, if you're a doctor and you learn... Okay, you prescribe Zoloft for this, this, and this. You learn that in school, right? And then 3 years later, you're doctoring, and you're like, wait a minute, do I prescribe Zoloft for that? And then some nurse walks by and goes, no, you prescribe Xanax or whatever
right.
the fuck.
I assume they just
then all of a sudden, in your head, it changes to Xanax forever. So fuck the school. It doesn't. You're not going to remember shit.
I assume they just have a program on their computer that you type in something and it comes up.
Yeah, it's called Google.
A teacher who had ridden one of Cedar Point's renowned roller coasters lost some of his belongings on the ride and then got off the track. Then got off to track them down, a decision that ultimately cost him his life. That's what police said happened early Thursday evening in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch. I used to go there like every year.
Did you go to Cedar Point?
Yeah, it was like the world's largest amusement park with the fastest roller coasters and the craziest... new roller coaster. They had the tallest, the fastest, the steepest, the craziest, always.
A 45-year-old special education teacher had been at the park with friends when he hopped on the Raptor around 5 p.m. Have you ridden the Raptor?
Yeah, it's the one where you hang. It was like the world's first suspended roller coaster where your feet dangle.
Okay. Yeah. Young lost his cell phone and wallet on the ride. And then after the ride, he jumped over the fence into a restricted area, was looking for his personal belongings, and he was struck by the Raptor train that was in operation.
Was he struck by the train, or did he get kicked in the face really hard by a passenger?
That's a good question. I've done my research on this, and nobody knows. They are leaning toward that he got hit by the train, but I looked at pictures of the train. And there's only a small part of it that you would get hit by that wasn't someone's feet. I guess there's some bars underneath.
Right.
But most of the surface area that you'd get hit by is feet. Here's a video of the Raptor. And you're going down, and you can watch this off their website. And there's a couple points where you can see, like, oh, I guess I could kick someone here, here, and here. So you're wondering at what point... he had walked under. But if you're going under to get your cell phone, aren't you, like, paying attention? Like, apparently not.
You would think.
He just apparently... There's only a couple places,
though. It's not much different from, like, walking out on train tracks to grab a backpack and there's a train coming.
It's no different, or it is different.
It's the same.
It's mostly the same, except the track is above you and curving around towards you.
Yeah, and the train's going slower.
I think a train might be going slower. I'm not sure.
Well, I could, but it's most likely going fast.
Anyway, that happened. Amazon.com is in big trouble. After a weekend of publication of an article in the New York Times about his company's management practices, Jeff Bezos, chief executive of Amazon, sent this message to all employees, linking to the Times article and a counterpoint written on LinkedIn. Dear Amazonians, that's the employees, I guess. If you haven't already, I encourage you to give this very long New York Times article a careful read. And I didn't even read it. It's way too long. Basically, this New York Times article says... I don't have it up. Says that Amazon employees are pressured by management.
Wait, hang on, stop. Before you go any further, before I know what's going on, I just want to say that I love Amazon because a couple of days ago, Puke informed me that Amazon Prime streaming services, the free streaming that you get with Prime that I have access to because of Puke's account on my television, has all 8 seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which Ellen and I started watching Sunday night, and in 2 nights, we're already a season and a half in. That's all we've done.
Wow. Yeah.
So whatever Amazon did, I forgive them.
Yeah, me too. Amazon Prime is good. I use my dad's account. And I watch Under the Dome, which is the worst show ever. But it has Hank from Breaking Bad in it. I also encourage you to read a very different take by a current Amazonian. Here's why I'm writing to you. The New York Times article prominently features anecdotes describing shockingly callous management practices, including people being treated without empathy while enduring family tragedies and serious health problems. The article doesn't describe the Amazon.
Oh, I don't care.
The article doesn't describe the Amazon I know or the caring Amazonians I work with every day. But if you know any stories of those reported, I want you to escalate it to HR. You can also email me directly at jeff@amazon.com. Even if it's rare or isolated, our tolerance for any such lack of empathy needs to be zero. The article.
No, you know what this is? I bet you Amazon did nothing wrong. You know, I know big companies are all evil and everything, but I can tell you, when it comes to this kind of shit, they have to have policies. The policies are super protective of the employees and their, you know, their mourning periods and all that shit. And it's somebody who's being self-entitled and getting all upset, and they become a busybody because they lost their job and they got nothing else to do. They probably got fired for another reason, but they're trying to paint it as, oh, they didn't respect my family emergency or my personal mourning process for my family member who died.
Right.
My mom got shit canned from Verizon, I don't know, a year or two ago, and she wasn't a very good employee. She probably sucked at her job, but she was there for a long time. She got paid shit, but she got good benefits and all these perks and stuff. When they laid her off, they closed her call center. They laid a shitload of people off. They gave them all like 9 months notice and set them up with job finding services and paid for classes to learn all kinds of skills like Microsoft Office and all kinds of other shit that most of them, like my mom, probably just passed up, didn't take advantage of. And I bet you half the people there feel like Verizon was a bunch of assholes to them, but they gave them severance packages, all kinds of notice, all kinds of assistance to try and get them a new job, and I'm sure most people feel entitled to twice as much as they got.
Yeah,
I'm sure Amazon is no different.
Big companies suck, kinda. I don't know. I'm sure they're all a little different, but they're probably mostly the same. The article goes.
Well, I'm saying that they did a good job taking care of the people they laid off.
The article goes further than reporting isolated anecdotes. It claims that our intentional approach is to create a soulless, dystopian workplace where no fun is had and no laughter heard. Again, I don't recognize this Amazon, and I very much hope you don't either. More broadly, I don't think any company adopting the approach portrayed could survive, much less thrive, in today's highly competitive tech hiring market.
Exactly.
The people we hire here are the best of the best. You are recruited every day by other world-class companies. You can work anywhere you want. So he's talking about the people in the office that are smart, right?
Yeah.
He's not necessarily talking about, he's not necessarily talking about the ones who work in the warehouse. Which
I'm sure their jobs are fine too, and the people in the warehouse need an incentive to broaden their skill set and get better. Same idea as the $15 minimum wage McDonald's worker.
Right. Yeah, if you're in the warehouse, you don't get much money.
Any opportunity?
Yeah. Like Puke used to be in a warehouse, and now he turns a machine.
I don't have the article up. I'm stupid. I did see one point where Amazon was in the past accused of having ambulances parked outside because that was cheaper than putting air conditioning in. So that when people passed out from working in 100 degrees, the ambulance was waiting.
All right. Some warehouses are very hot. I used to work in a warehouse. It had giant convection ovens in it because they baked bread in there. They didn't air condition the warehouse with a giant oven. It was very hot. It wasn't air conditioned. We didn't have ambulances. It just came with the job.
Right. I guess it's nice of them to park ambulances outside, though.
Yeah.
So many ambulances responded to...
They stream curb, all is forgiven.
So many ambulances responded to medical assistance calls at the warehouse during the heat wave in May that the retailer paid Centronia Ambulance Corps to have paramedics and ambulances stationed outside the warehouse during several days of excess heat over the summer. About 15 people were taken to hospitals, and 20 or 30 were treated at work. OSHA investigated the conditions of the warehouse, told Amazon that the way the warehouse was run had the potential to adversely affect employee health and safety. Oh, well, you got to get your cheap hair gel somewhere. It's got to be from a 100-degree man. We got to wrap up pretty shortly, but I got this letter in the mail. And we talked about last episode, had an ATM robbed me, and I got the letter that said, "Our investigation is complete into your dispute claimed, and our investigation has indicated that an error did occur. The credit for $60 is now final." So I did get my ATM money back.
How long did the whole thing take?
Well, this happened on Sunday, and I got the letter. No, wait. It happened last Sunday. So 8 days to get the letter.
That's over a week.
Which is good. That doesn't mean it took that long to be resolved. It got resolved, and then they mailed a letter, and then the letter came to my house. The letter is dated August 11th, so it actually almost took no time at all. I did a big thing yesterday, or the day before. I canceled my Keith and the Girl VIP membership. Uh-oh. I have disconnected from Andrew. Did he crash under a semi-truck? We'll find out. We are in suspense at the moment. This is a live report. Is Andrew okay? Did he crash under a pickup semi-truck? He did say that if he died, it was because of that. Uh-oh. This is bad. Are you alive? Oh, okay. I assumed you crashed under the semi-truck.
No. We won't cut out. I gotta find a bathroom.
Sorry, what?
I gotta find a bathroom.
Oh. Well, we're gonna wrap up in a second. I was gonna say that I don't want to talk about other podcasts on a non-VIP, but I canceled my Keith and the Girl VIP subscription because they're sellouts. And they've been sellouts.
Why are they sellouts?
They've been sellouts for a while. They're almost as bad as Adam Carolla. What?
Explain.
Oh, I'm saying they're almost as bad as Adam Carolla. They have a bunch of ads they run, like 5 ads a show or something. And they've just become big podcast. And I hate Keith and the Girl, and they should hate Puke in the Game.
Adam Carolla doesn't try to be this, you know, kitschy New York indie show.
So maybe Keith and the Girl's worse then.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're pretending to be something,
like,
they're not.
I think Keith Malley is hysterical. I think he's really quick and he's really funny, and I enjoy listening to him. I feel like I would enjoy his stand-up much better than his podcast, but I really hated Emna. She brought nothing to the table.
Hmm, interesting.
So, like, oh, I'm the sensitive one, and I love the gays. It's all right, we all love the gays. What makes you special?
Good point. Yeah, I'm not going to bash the show. It's a good show, and they changed the world of podcasting for the better. But for now, I've had to cancel my VIP out of principle, and I'm going to sign up with Red Bar Radio or something.
Well, I stopped. I never VIP'd Keith and the Girl, but I listened to them for maybe a year, but I stopped probably 3 years ago.
Yeah, nothing's happened in that time. I'm just married to a woman, man, but that's about it.
I didn't care about any of the characters. Like, I didn't give a shit about all their friends. Like, who the fuck cares? You all suck.
Well, that's mean, but true. Sort of true. I'm sure it depends on who you are. Okay, we have to wrap up. I gotta go to work.
And I'm gonna go pee.
Okay. In the side of the road?
I found the rest area. And
cool.
I was going to walk in there while on the show with you, but I'm parking right now.
Yeah, that would be funny, but that's cool. Anyway, have fun in New Jersey.
Yep.
And you don't have to buy a house if you think the water's messed up, but I would post for suggestions.
I feel like the real estate agent and I wrote the request back to the seller last night, but we didn't send it. So we wanted to wait for the water test. The water test came back, and now it's like, all right, here's a big expense finally, whereas everything else was very minor and sort of cosmetic and didn't cost anything.
Yep.
So now here's a big expense, which we can include in our negotiations to the seller. So we can be like, look, either fix all this shit or take $6,000 off the price or something.
I'd rather
him just fix it, because $6,000 off the price, that's nice and everything, but that comes off my mortgage, not, and I'll have to find my pocket to fix the lot.
Sure, he can fix it, but it's not fixed. Like, you still have this other appliance now you need to take care of, which is the filter.
Well, yeah.
Or whatever.
And I looked at a lot of houses, and honestly, more of them than not had water softeners or filters or reverse osmosis things. My house now has that shit.
Right. Okay, well, I would post online, and people will chime in and say, yeah, my house has this too, and you'll be like, okay, fine.
Well, apparently it's all pretty common in New Hampshire.
Or if you email me the details, I'll post and say, my friend, or something.
Oh, even better. Okay, I'll forward you the email.
Okay. As long as there's enough detail in there that I can explain it to someone.
Yeah, sure.
Then I'll do that, and then I'll tell you what people say.
All right, well, I'll forward you some emails while I'm peeing.
Okay, well, this has been News with Nick, or Snooze with Nick, for August 18th. Sign up for the PCL. Actually, you already are. Thanks for signing up for the PCL. We finally have some content out on it. And
I'm hanging up.
What? Oh, Andrew's hanging up. And that has been News with Nick. Thanks for listening. We didn't get to all the news, but this was a real slow news week. I put some stupid stuff in here, like IRS cyber attacks have happened. The Boston bomber wants an appeal. Is anyone in the chat? No. Okay, thanks for coming out live. Nobody? You missed watching the video of the raptor. All right. And bye.
Thank you for calling TD Bank, America's most convenient bank. Para español, o prima dos. To get started, enter your debit card number or your account number followed by the pound sign.
Gonna have to beep all that out.
Please hold.
Later. So
to ensure we provide you with the legendary service you have come to expect, your call may be monitored or recorded.
Yes, it is being recorded.
To provide you with convenient and timely service, please have your account information available when you speak with a customer service representative.
Thank you for calling TD Bank, America's most convenient bank. This is Andrew speaking. How can I make your day better?
Hi, I just went to an ATM and it gave me a receipt for $60 and didn't give me any dollars. What should I do?
All right, well, are you at a TD Bank ATM or...
I was at a TD Bank ATM. I am no longer. I am now at home.
Okay. All right. Normally, we'd have to just go in and step up. Obviously, tonight, it's at this point, it's not going to be able to go into the branch, but I can also put in an adjustment from this end here. Do you have account number or card number I could use to pull up the information?
Sure, I can give you either.
Okay, either one is fine.
My account number for checking, 294...
Didn't pull up account information. Either can I get that repeated or the card number itself?
I'll give you the card number then.
Okay.
449.
All right, and make sure I do have the right account. Can I get your full name?
Nicholas J. Ryder.
All right, Nicholas, can I also get your full address?
7.
And zip code?
03431.
Thank you. And one last thing would be a recent transaction on the account that did go through. Direct deposit, physical deposit, debit card transaction, or ACH withdrawal?
Well, I just had a $60, I think that's still pending, but I had a $38.99 debit on the 7th.
on the 7th. All right, I can pull that up for you here. All right, well, we still have those transactions that I can do from the ATM at least. All right, so I do show that there were two transactions. So the first one was the one that didn't give the funds?
Correct. So then okay. I went to another ATM so I could get money.
Okay. A few seconds here. We'll go ahead and put in that for you.
I took pictures of the screen and everything where it said, temporarily out of service after had already printed my receipt.
Okay. I said I will recommend when the branch is open, if you can, stopping into that branch. They also might be able to get that done for you sooner than we can from here with the dispute. Because they'll be able to pull up the ATM history and have that ATM right there, so they'll be able to give you the funds immediately.
Okay.
But as I said, with this dispute, I can at least put this in for you from this end here to see if we can get that all sorted out as well.
So if I do physically go in, should I say a dispute's already started and they can pick it up from there, or what?
They should be able to pull up the access to that information from this end here, from that end. Can I also get the phone number on the account?
Yeah, it's most likely 603.
And that's the phone number you wish to be contacted on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to put down customer requested $60. No funds were given. And ATM listed out of service.
Correct. Then it made a bunch of whirring noises. And then it appeared to be back in normal operation waiting for a debit card. But I didn't do that again. That would have been insane.
Yeah, just as a precautionary measure, obviously. That would not be something I would recommend. All right, amount received, zero. That was today. So I'm going to pull up the time of the transaction as well.
15:30.
Yeah, I can pull it directly from the system. That'll give me down to the second here. So I'm going to do it that way. Yeah, almost exactly 15:30. And that dispute has been put in for you.
Okay.
As I said, if you do step into the branch, they might be able to get that done for you sooner than this. Our typical turnaround time for a dispute would be 3 to 5 business days, and the funds would usually be attributed to the account at that time. And as we complete our investigation, obviously as long as everything goes through with that investigation, then those funds will remain on the account. If there is some sort of denial of that request, then you would receive notification of that within 7 to 10 business days of this date. But otherwise, as I said, stepping into the branch, they'll be able to pull up the records and everything else with that and see how everything went with that. And so that's basically what we're going to do from here, but they might be able to do it for you sooner if you wanted to step into the branch at any point in time.
Well, if it's generally going to be 5 days, I'm inclined to not go to the branch because I don't know if you've ever tried to wait for someone at a branch to talk to.
The one around me is it's pretty quickly. I never really had much of a problem there, but again, I don't know specifically for your location how that would work out.
But do you think I would be okay if I don't go to the branch and I just wait 5 days?
Yeah, again, as I said, we're putting in a dispute from here. We'll basically be doing an investigation on the ATM itself, and we should be able to see that the transaction was completed, that no funds were given, and then from there we'll be able to get those credits back onto your account.
Okay.
All right. Other than that, though, any other questions, concerns while I have you on the phone?
I guess not. If it's, I don't know, what are the reasons it would be denied, and what should I do if that's the case?
If it is denied, you'll receive notification. It'll tell you why it was denied, and you can contact us, and we can take a look into it further at that point if we need to re-put that in. But it's basically, as long as all the information is in there, which I did put down the specific ATM, the amount, what actually was deposited, and the error message that it gave, so it shouldn't have any problems with being able to go through that. As long as we are able to check that ATM and see that it didn't deposit those funds or give those funds out to you, then that should be something that
we'll be able to get. But it gave me a receipt. So, right, it says it gave me the funds, so how do I know that its internal system doesn't say, yeah, I gave him the funds, and your higher-ups go, says it gave him the funds, he must have dropped it on the ground and blacked out.
No, we'll take a look at it. As I said, we'll take a look at a number of different things. We have the video from the ATM itself. We can actually see, it has the readers that tell you if anything was given out from the thing itself. If it doesn't show that, if it does show that something was given out that time, again, as I said, you'll receive notification that the request was denied, and just give us a call back at that time. We'll investigate it further if that is the case.
All right. I guess we'll see what happens then.
All right. Other than that, though, any other questions, concerns?
I'm all set.
All right, otherwise, you have a nice day. Thanks for calling TD Bank.
Thank you for the help. Bye.
Bye-bye.